You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Welcome back to the Charlie Cook Cricket Podcast. Interesting day of cricket we've just had. India dominate the first kind of two overs and the last 20 overs, and England were really good in the middle, but it doesn't matter because India is still completely dominating this test match. And if they lose from here, then it could be utterly dreadful for them. I'm Jeremy Sank. He's going to give our Indian perspective. We've been very England focused on this podcast recently, so I thought I'd bring someone else in and give a more even side of it. And maybe we won't talk about all of England's problems, and maybe we'll talk about what India did well for once. Sank, could that cricket that?
Yeah, and in my defence, I said yes before that little mini collapse by England at the end. So
you do.
I wasn't just coming on because India did well for a change. I think it was a, like you said, very unusual day. First five wickets, 84 runs. Final five wickets, 20 runs. And there was a 300-run partnership in between. It's feast or famine. It's very much, as I tweeted, someone saying, Karun Nair's innings. 303 runs in the middle and then nothing else on either side of it.
It's the most ducks England have ever had in one innings, yeah. Beating the previous record of five. It's only the 10th time in Test match cricket there's been six ducks in an innings. It's the lowest score there's ever been with a 300-run partnership in Test cricket. just bizarre, because we're 380 for five, and I'm thinking, I get a lead here. But I just knew that one wicket could get rid of all of the good work that Brook and Smith done. Now, we needed that 300 runs that they scored, because otherwise we'd be following on and the game might be all over by now. I don't have words to describe it. The way they played it was just utterly stupid, but it worked for most of it.
Yeah, and it was very unusual for England's tail not to contribute, because last test match, that was the difference between the two teams. It was the tail that contributed for England that got them back level, whereas India's tail both times got blown away. This time it was kind of, it wasn't so much the tail, but you know, you saw Jadeja having a good partnership with Gill, and then Washington Sundar having a good partnership, and that kind of helped India get towards a decent total in the first innings. So, yeah, England not. With Chris Wokes, Brian Cast, you'd expect at least 20, 30 runs from each of them. And suddenly you're only looking about 100-run lead for India.
Yeah, I did really feel like we had to get up to just get the deficit around 100. I think then all of a sudden that makes India's third innings really tricky. Because their thought process has to be... I mean, what's their thought process now? They're 180 runs ahead. They're now 240 runs ahead. But they're 180 runs ahead at the innings break. Do they want to give England 450?
So, I don't... You know how we talked about during the IPL and the... What was it? The Champions Trophy, it's not about the averages anymore, it's about the strike rate. And with test matches versus England, it's got to be the number of overs you give them. It doesn't matter about the runs. If you give England 600 runs, they will chase it. You know, they only have one approach that they take. So you've got to be looking at giving England about 100 overs. And from that, anywhere above 500, put the bait out there. Five and over is not that difficult for England, but on a day five pitch, that's showing a couple of signs of uneven balance. With the new ball doing a little bit, that could be a tricky chase for England.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting position for India to be, because you'd imagine, because if this was a normal team or just a normal test match pitch and not the flattest thing you've ever seen in your life, it looks like they've stolen it from Rawalpindi, then you'd think, well, you just, you're 180 ahead, you're back quickly, you get up to a 400 lead, you've got five sessions to bowl them out, or four and a half sessions to bowl them out. They're going to try and bat out for a draw, and that's how test match cricket has been played for the last 150 years. It's just now it's slightly different because you've got an England side that likes to chase and is the reason that Stokes has cocked up the toss so much and got away with it at Headingley because of India's mistakes. And then has chosen to do exactly the same thing here, and it just hasn't worked. I thought India bowled really well today. Apart from that period, from when Smith came in until up until lunch, where it just felt like Gill had lost the plot a little. Not lost the plot, because it's difficult to captain like that. We've seen a lot of more experienced captains than what Gill is. Lose their head when England are going like that in a session. Cummins, I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Robert Sharma's done it before.
Yeah, Kane Williamson as well had that struggle, didn't he, when Bazball started?
So, but I thought that after lunch, they went to that outside off line and just tried to stop England scoring. And you could tell that Harry Brook was getting visibly frustrated and just tried to kind of stop the runs and thought, okay, the ball isn't doing anything. We're just going to try and stop them scoring until we can get a new ball. Or there's some footholds that Jadeja can spin a couple into, or something happens in the game. And it was the new ball. And Akash Deep and Siraj was brilliant with it.
Yeah, you saw the thinking behind, you know, after that first 20 minutes, Jamie Smith and Harry Brook got out to short balls in the previous match, and you thought, right, let's use that tactic, see how they again, if they take it on. And to be fair, Jamie Smith, he was hitting them clean. It wasn't like he was mistiming them to give India some hope or there's still a chance coming. He just got into good positions and hit them out the ground. So that counter-attacking innings before lunch, I thought, was really going to set up the whole test match, where England would be getting back level pegging quite quickly and then looking to maybe get like a 50-80 run lead to again make India bat. But after lunch, you know, it was just proper test cricket again, wasn't it? Stick it outside off stump, let the batsmen come to you, let them make the mistake, don't give away easy runs, which is up to an extent. You can see how it goes against England's mentality, because they want to be scoring runs. And when you dry them out, you can see them being frustrated and hoping that they would make a mistake, which unfortunately for India didn't come until the second new ball.
Yeah, but it just felt like if England could have batted like they did in that morning session, if they would have done it in the afternoon session, then all of a sudden, the lead is only 100, 120 by the time the second new ball comes. And then, okay, even if you bundle out the tail, the lead's down. I thought when India scored 587 or whatever they scored, I thought if England can get close to 500 here, they're in the game. Because then it makes that third innings tricky and you don't know how many runs you need, and Gill's probably going to be bitten from the last game when England chased down 371 with ease. This pitch is flatter. You're going to want to try and score 450, 460. Then you're going to get, you might lose a couple of wickets, and then it's difficult. It's the Bazball formula that they used in 2022 so well and have used it in other chases. They did it in 23 at Headingley as well, setting up that chase. Different ways that they've done it before. And it did just feel like India just stopped that from happening, and I thought they did it really well. And credit to Shubman Gill, because I thought his captaincy was pretty good today. And also Akash Deep and Siraj looks great. I mean, when Sirard gets going, he looks great. The problem is it happens once every seven or eight test matches.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do we even need Jess Pinkbrum right now? Can we just rest him for the next game? It's
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
The whole game, I think, just you could summarize it as Shubham Gill being brilliant with a bat, and in that second session being good captain. He wasn't a great captain because they didn't get any wickets, but he was a good enough captain just to restrict England enough that the second new ball, when the second new ball came, there was still a healthy lead. Because I think when they took the second new ball, there was still about 190 behind. So, yeah, he just did enough in that. And he will learn how to contain England, because it's like you said, a lot more experienced captains have tried and gone around the park with it. From England's perspective, though, it was unusual to see the top order fail. Ben Duckett's been, you know, one of the world's best openers in the last 12 months. And that was a very tired shot yesterday evening. Joe Root, a little bit unlucky. Ben Stokes, he just got a snorter. But yeah, everyone else, you're not really inspired by, like, Ollie Pope going in, Zach Crawley going in. If you need to save a test match, you're not going to trust those people. If you need maybe like 100 runs of, you know, 15 overs, you go, yeah, all right, they go in and have a bit of fun. And this is what this test match will be for them, you know, and just over a longer period, 450 runs in a day, like, go out, see what you can do.
Yeah, I think that's got... I think we're going to have a really interesting day five, and yeah. It's either going to end up with England being incredible or England being bowled out for 100. There is not going to be a point where it's 360 for eight and then all of a sudden it gets a bit nervous. No, they're either going to completely piss it or they're going to fail miserably. There is going to be nothing in between. If it is 450, I still think Shubman Gill is going to want 500. And he's got the batting to do it, to be fair. They back down to Washington Sundar coming in at eight is slightly ridiculous. Yeah. Now, they've lost a lot on bowling by putting Sundar at eight because he looked relatively useless with the ball. I mean, it doesn't help that the pitch is offering nothing. Just going back to Gill's captains, I thought it was really interesting because India had obviously realised that we are not going to take a wicket here. A little bit how England felt when Gill was batting yesterday. And Stokes' answer was, well, I'm not going to injure my fast bowlers. I'm going to bowl Harry Brook for a bit. I'm going to bowl Shoaib Bashir 25 overs in a row. I'm going to bowl Joe Root a bit and just hope that they make a mistake. Whereas I felt like Gill wasn't necessarily trying to take wickets. He was just trying to stop runs and knows that could cause a mistake. England never did that. They started off being really, really good at bowling dry, and now they just don't do it, and it drives me nuts. And it's probably the fact of we've got four wicket-taking bowlers that don't take wickets and can't keep runs down. Yeah. Even if you've got a 49-year-old Jimmy Anderson running, at least you know that he can go at 1.5 and over for 10 overs if you need him to do that.
Yeah, and I think four out of five Bashir's wickets were caught on the boundary so far. And that's the thing with your spinner, you're kind of just hoping that the batters make the mistake and you get the wicket that way.
The other one was the Siraj one yesterday where he was back in the change room by the time Jamie Smith has stumped him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not having that containing option either as a spinner. That's really making them struggle. But the challenge, you know, they've come out and said, we are going to be attacking. We're looking for wickets. The runs, if we give away runs, it doesn't matter. But we know that there's more than one way to win a test match. And India kind of showed the other way today, where you don't have to be taking wickets to put the team under pressure. You can just dry them out and eventually they will make a mistake. Or something will change, either the pitch, the overhead conditions, or you get the second new ball. And then you're back in the game. And everyone knew, you know, even the commentators were saying, the second new ball, if England lose a wicket, then they're in trouble. And unfortunately, Harry Brooke went straight as soon as the second new ball came, and the collapse happened.
It was a really good ball to get Harry Brooke out. I mean, almost unplayable for Akash Deep. It just is interesting that he didn't play in the first test. It's interesting. He looked really good. Why they picked Prashant Krishna, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what his role is in the side.
Yeah.
It just
you can see like him making way for that little elbow extension bowler. What's he called? Just Breathe or something. Yeah, he'll
the one that chucks it. I think they're getting him to put it in a metal cast and bowl like Murali, I think.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind, you know, if in the next Test match India dropping Nitish Kumar as well, then getting in Kuldeep and dropping Krishna for Just Breathe. I think that'll be a bit more balanced attack. You have five options that can give you wickets. And then six batters who can get you the runs.
Yeah, or even Washington comes out for Kuldeep would probably make more sense to me. I mean, I just don't understand how they can't see that this England side cannot possibly play wrist spin. I mean, just forget about this side trying to play wrist spin. They haven't got a clue. I mean, what's Chakravarti? Is he just doing IPL practice at the moment? Get him over. I mean, he's... I think he got Harry Brooke out a million times.
Yeah, he's not allowed to bowl more than 4 overs a day at the moment. So
four isn't enough, I reckon. I don't think he needs any more than that. I don't understand, especially without Bumrah. I mean, when they weren't going to play Bumrah, but I knew that this England side would lose to the India side that doesn't have Bumrah. I just knew it was going to happen because it's exactly what they do. They are so good at just taking their foot off the pedal. The way they played in Leeds, and we can go drop catches and last innings collapses and everything, I thought the way they played Bumrah, especially in that chase, was superb. They said, okay, Bumrah, I'm not going to score any runs against you, but you're not going to take my wicket. And the pitches are so flat that he can't have that miracle delivery very often. Mm. Unless he's got the brand new ball in his hand and might get a bit of a nip off the seam or something. Yeah. The pitches aren't what they played in Australia, where he was unplayable. And then they knew that they could try and score off the other bowlers. It's almost like, oh, there's no Bumrah. We'll just score loads of runs off all the bowlers now because none of them are Bumrah. And it just doesn't quite work. I mean,
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, what do you make of the pitches now? Because... But if India weren't involved in this, this would be a very boring test match for me in terms of there's absolutely nothing for the bowlers. It is just all, you know, once you get in, that's it. You can stay there for as long as you, till you make a mistake, really. It's very different to how tours of England used to be, where you had green seamers and ball hooping around corners and testing your technique, testing how good you are mentally, whether you can handle it or not. All that's gone is just hit and, you know, just swipe across the line.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this game is I find incredibly exciting when we're batting. And when we're bowling, I'm trying to find the nearest bridge I can throw myself off of. I think that probably the pitch and the bowling lineup isn't great. I understand why we do it, and I don't think that there's a load that we could change about it for the simple fact of it hasn't rained in 3 months. And you look at club cricket up and down the country at the moment, all the outfields are grey and none of them have got any life in them because it hasn't rained. And I think that probably doesn't help. I mean, you even look at the county championship. I mean, you can say that, okay, Edgbaston's always flat for test matches. It's always been flat for Warwickshire this year. It's it's road after road after road that they've been putting out. And that's the same for most of the test match grounds. It's almost like you want to play it. I mean, the most exciting game that we had in the county championship this year was the one at Derbyshire. I think it was an outground for Derbyshire, the Derbyshire Lancs game. So it's like if playing on a test match
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Pitch just isn't fun in England anymore because they're all flat and dull and boring, and it's 500 plays 500, then England might do something incredible and you think, oh, what a great test match it is. And you even look back at Leeds. Now, Leeds had a bit more life in it than this one. There was a bit more pace on the ball. But at least there was... The game was relatively dull until England chased down 370, and even that was a bit dull.
Yeah. There wasn't, like, any close, you know, oh, let's get it onto the last five overs and see if they, you know, a couple of wickets in hand, see if they can get over the line. It was... What once, you know, Root and Smith got going, that was it. He thought it was a bit of a conclusion, the last 100 runs. And I do, it's a lot of, you know, and I've been quite vocal about Harry Brook and everyone saying, oh, yeah, he's a great test player. Well, he's a great test player in Pakistan, and he scores runs on flat wickets here. It's like, he hasn't had a tour of India yet. He hasn't had a tour of Australia yet. And I want to see him on green pitches in June in Headingley and see how he gets on there. And this is his whole career is just on flat decks. And I get you still have to make runs, but it's not tough runs. It's not test match runs like we know they used to be. And that's where I think a lot of the interest is lacking in this series at the moment. It doesn't feel like it's hard test cricket. It feels like it's if any team, any set of bowlers can just find a little bit of, oh, we've got the new ball, let's just take advantage of it. Or we've got a bit of cloud cover, let's take advantage of it. It's just getting those snippets of like 20, 30 minutes in a 5-day match. And suddenly you get on top and that's it. That's all you're kind of praying for at the moment in this series.
Yeah, it is. The conditions either have to be massively in your favour, whether that's the new ball, the overheads, or it needs to be the batsman playing a stupid shot.
Yeah.
And luckily for us, I guess, and we're not seeing 803 declared plays, 750 for four declared, and it's a draw at the end of it, like some of the kind of early to mid-2000s games were. There are some stupid shots. You've got Harry Brook and Rishabh Pant playing in the same test match. There's going to be some stupid shots in there at some point. The criticism of Harry Brook feels harsh, I have to admit. 27 matches, averaging 60 at a strike rate of 87 with 900s and 1250s.
So 100 I'd give you in New Zealand when England were under pressure and he came, was it 180 odd something? And that was a proper test match innings because the conditions were difficult and he came in under pressure. But can you really remember one innings apart from that where you think, actually, I'm going to trust him to get England out of trouble here?
21 for 3 he came in today. I mean,
on a flat deck. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's again, it's, you know, the odds are in his favour. And I know I am going to be in a minority until I see him in India, until I see him in this Ashes coming up, because he's just had a really, really good start, but also a very coincidental start where England have always just asked for flat decks wherever they've played.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So his average in England is 45. His average in New Zealand is 75, and his average in Pakistan is 85.
What did he make in Test 2 and 3 in that latest Pakistan series when the pitch started doing a bit?
That's a good question. I'll have to look it up. Where is it? View test match list. I think I really don't think it was a lot. So we are looking at Pakistan. He made So after his 317 in that series, he made 9, 16, 5, and 26.
And that's the challenge he's going to have, and the fact that he keeps foregoing IPL and the opportunity to learn in conditions that he's not familiar with really does worry me when he's going to face those in crunch scenarios.
Yeah, I get it. I think he has got to score difficult runs and hasn't scored that many difficult runs yet. I still think it takes a lot to average 60.
And like I said, I am going to be in a minority here. It's not like when Jimmy Anderson was forced to retire and everyone just went, no, you know, that's the wrong decision. Everyone was on the same page, and that was a different thing. But this is very much it's a bit too early to be calling him an all-time great. If you had a fourth innings, right, and you needed to bat out a session, who in the lineup would you pick that's not Joe Root?
It's not Joe Root. Stokes? Yeah. Would it be Stokes?
Bat out session?
I think that's more of an aura pick than anyone else. Just because I know that he might be able to do it because he did it in 2019 once or twice. Jamie Smith.
Where would Howard Brook appear on that list?
He's probably second or third, realistically. Mm. I do trust him. I mean, this wasn't the most swashbuckling innings that he's played. He only struck at 67 today, and that was more for the fact of going back to
Gil. It was a lot more mature,
But he gets fed up, doesn't he? He gets angry if he can't score runs freely. I mean, the other Centurion today, Jamie Smith, what do you make of him? That still hasn't scored enough runs, too many flat runs?
the best thing he did was in that first session, he really took the attack on. There was a time when, you know, if India had taken another wicket there, suddenly exposed Wokes in the first session, they would have been right on top. He would have been looking like 350, 400 run lead quite easily. The way he counterattacks as well, it's not just, I've got a couple of pull shots and I'll keep playing those. It's all around the park, you know, down the ground. He's so aggressive, so brutal. And what is he, the highest wicketkeeper? Highest score by a
wicketkeeper? Highest score for an English wicketkeeper.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable. I think there's an argument of pushing him up the order above Stokes, the way he's been batting in the last year or so. And I know he did score a century in the first test match, but I really think Jacob Bethell should come in place of Ollie Pope for number three. I think Bethell's it's a bit more of an all-round player. Pope, he's had a long leash, and he did this in India as well. He scored a century in the first test match and then nothing. He's done it again. He scored a century, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't score anything else for the rest of the series. It's just, you've got a great kid in Jacob Bethell. Why not just give him the opportunity at home?
Yeah. And on the flattest pitches he played on. I mean, he's pretty flat. The New Zealand pitches he was playing on weren't as flat as these are. And there's an argument to say that that New Zealand attack was a lot better than this Indian one, especially one without Bumrah. So you'd think that he would score runs, possibly his first ever professional century. I still can't believe that he hasn't scored yet, which is a slight worry bringing him into the side. I tend to agree with you. Whether I'd stick with Crawley or not, I'm not 100% sure. I was very much under the impression of if they want to change Crawley instead of Pope, then just move Pope down to six, put Jamie Smith to open. But now it feels like we've got a fantastic wicketkeeper batsman. Let's try and not turn him into something else like we do every single time, whether it's we try and turn Johnny Bairstow into a five or a three or whatever we try and do. I mean, the one thing I will say about this Jamie Smith innings is that I really hope this shuts up people about the folks debate and that we can get over that and that Jamie Smith is the best option that we have in England cricket as a wicketkeeper batsman.
He hasn't made any mistakes with the gloves, And that, no. that's, you know, it's where the big debate during the last Ashes was Johnny Bairstow came in and he had a horrendous first couple of test matches up until Old Trafford, where he finally got over that injury and started playing up to his best. He was just dropping catches, missing stumpings, costing England games, quite frankly. And that was a fair argument to say, why not just put folks in until Bairstow is 100%? Because the keeping is just as important as the batting. But Jamie Smith, he's not making mistakes behind the stumps. He's clean, you know, he's good with the spinner. So I don't think there needs to be an argument that you bring folks in, because there's no way that folks comes in at 84 for 5 and scores 180 runs. That's quite obvious.
Especially the way that Smith scored those runs today. And also, you knew that, I think one of the really important parts of India getting rid of that tail so quickly is that if Jamie Smith could have found someone that stuck around with him, whether it was Cass, Tung, or even Bashir at the end, he probably scores another 50. Yeah. Those boundaries are about 20 yards long, and he was clearing them with ease.
I'm pretty sure the boundaries of the oval for the T20I between England women and India women are longer than they are in this test match. I don't get the short boundary, especially straight down the ground. It looks very, very short. The most surprising thing about the collapse was Shoaib Bashir didn't review his bowl. He likes doing that.
I think he knows that his time's probably short in the team, and what's the point of wasting a review?
He is going to Australia, I think. The whole
God,
experiment.
I hope not.
You have to take him to Australia now. Otherwise, you just look silly for not playing Liam Dawson all this time.
I wouldn't have picked him. I wouldn't pick him for Lords. That's how much I want to get rid of him. I wouldn't pick him for the next innings. Mm. When he got hit in the head, I was praying for a concussion sub.
I guess looking back for you as an England fan, when Joe Root was sacked and McCullum and Stokes took over, the whole view was the next Ashes in Australia. That's what we're building the team for. They pushed Jimmy out, Stuart Broad's retired, and so on. Do you feel any stronger about England's chances where you are now compared to where you were when Joe Root got sacked?
Oh, yeah. I feel 10 times more confident than I did at the end of that series.
Are England going to win any matches?
I think they'll win the Ashes. I don't know whether that's down to Australia have got a lot worse than how much England have got better. Isn't it? It really depends on Archer, Wood. If those two are fit for 5 tests.
Yeah.
If they work out that maybe we should pick Liam Dawson, and I mean, it's Australia. You know what? It retired Ashwin playing a series in Australia. It's not great for spinners at the moment. I think Lyons bowled about 7 overs.
Well, it retired Virat Kohli as well as Rohit Sharma. India lost everyone after that series, and nearly Bumrah for the rest of his career as well. Did his back in. It's a brutal tour. I think England the best thing for England was the match in Leeds, where they didn't baz ball their way through that fourth innings. They actually were sensible about it. And that's, if they played like that, I'd say they'd win one or two test matches. But if they just carry on with this mentality that, yeah, we're going for everything, I think they will struggle out there.
I think it depends on the ball. I think if all of a sudden Jofra comes back and he looks 80 to 90% of what he did 6 years ago, and you can have that for 3 test matches, I think England have got a chance. If Mark Wood's fit for 3 test matches, I think England have got a chance in those. If we can find one more, and then with the addition of someone like a Tung or a Cass that can kind of bowl you some bumpers for a bit, or nick up the occasional wicket, if it is a Sam Cook, if it is a Matty Potts, if it is someone like that, that just might provide you a little bit more skill, then that might give England a chance. But I think it is going to come down to the ball. I think England have got a better batting lineup than Australia do. I think I'm pretty confident in that. I think a core of Yuckett, Root, Brook and Smith that 2-4-5-7, I think is pretty good. I don't think there's many better in the world at the moment. I'm confident about that. I just the thing is, we have to win this series. If we lose this series, you go into the Ashes, the confidence is down, you might as well forget about it. We'll come back 4-5-0 again. I even if England win this game, I'd still feel pretty confident about winning the series. Joe Root hasn't scored a ton yet.
And Jofra's due back next game, so
Whether they have an idea about Wokes and go to someone like a Sam Cook and see if he can get a bit more out of, I mean, there might be a bit more life in the pitch at Lord's. I do think England need a bit more life in the pitches. I think these flat pitches are just slightly playing into India's hands a little bit too much. I want Shubman Gill to be under pressure. I don't want him strumming 269 and having the highest rate of control that a batsman's ever had.
Compared to where he was in the last tour, he has really stepped up. I know he came out in the interview and said, I've made a couple of tweaks in how I bat, how I stand and so on. But the difference, chalk and cheese, compared to the last tour with him, and captaincy seems to have helped him.
Yeah, he's looked incredible. I mean, 269, a century in the first innings, in the first test. I mean, you can't really ask for much more, can you? But we should probably wrap this up now, saying what happens tomorrow? Give me your prediction.
Well, as an Indian fan, I want them to score at least another 250 runs, which would be a lead of 500. And after that, you know, it's whatever happens. If England chase that down, then forget it. Just cancel the rest of the series, leave Gautam Gambhir in Birmingham and play whoever you want at Lord's. But yeah, you need at least 500 runs. Mainly not so much for England's batting, but because the deck won't offer you anything after the first 12, 14 overs. And if you don't get a breakthrough, then it will just be one way after that. So give England about 100 overs to bat. So drag it out for the rest of tomorrow. You don't need to score at 5 and over, maybe 4 and over, 60 overs, 240 runs, declare and have a go at them tomorrow evening.
My prediction is India bowled out for, what are they now? 64 for one. They bowled out for 250, giving England 340 to chase. In being bowled out, though, Washington Sundar hit on the head, bouncer from Kars. There's a bit of to and fro about the concussion sub. Jay Shah steps in, says, no, Kuldeep can play. It's a fair enough replacement. Kuldeep comes in. England bowled out for 8. Kuldeep takes the new ball. And India win. It's going to be a disappointing day.
This feels like, you know, they're playing in like Vishakhapatnam or something, and you've been having some sort of flashbacks from that.
All I know is Jay Shah is going to be involved at some point, and then we'll see a montage of Jay Shah going on nights out in Birmingham. I can feel it coming. It's going to come from the ICC account. We're going to have Jay Shah montages.
It'll be similar to the end of the first Hangover movie.
All right, guys, that's going to be it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please remember to leave a like. Please remember to subscribe. All the usual stuff. Do check out Sank as well. All of his links will be down in the description and the show notes. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating on your podcast platform. And I'll see you guys tomorrow for a day 4 review.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.